Older, what's happening? This is Malcolm, and it's Kyle Smith speaking from the future about the past and the present. Hey, life ain't the same everywhere. Sometimes you need to adjust. Sometimes you don't want to. Sometimes you just gotta keep going. That's life though, man. Stay safe out there. Listen up and enjoy these words. You can follow me at Maniacal Minutes on Instagram or maniacalminutes.com. That's ManiacalMenace.
I think it's time to blow this thing. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
What's up? God damn it. Welcome back to another edition of Tell Me a Joke, the guideline of chasing your dreams. I'm your host, the Maniacal Menace, Kyle Smith. It's like a pimp named Slickback, say the whole thing. I am here today with a good friend of mine, straight from New Orleans, fucking Justin Lane. What's up, man?
What's up, man? What's going on? I like that fact you said. A pimp named Slipback.
Yeah.
Drive me memories.
Like a Tribe Called Quest. Exactly. Say the whole thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Beautiful shit. I like the opener. Like
that. Yeah. Thank you. Man, we just left a mic. We just left a mic. Flashback. Flashback open mic. Yeah. Which was that was nice to say that it's one of those sign-ups online.
Yeah, it's one of those paid.
One of those slotted. Yeah.
Yeah. Pay for play, which kind of sounds like. Code for weird, like,
yeah,
sex,
like, mm-hmm, we're gonna touch your butt when you get here,
exactly.
Some shit like that,
exactly. But it was good, though. It was good, right?
Like, it was nice. Fun. It was like a very intimate room, like, it had two rows of chairs that had what, about five seats,
yeah,
in each row?
Pretty much. I thought it was gonna be
like know, a 10 seater, a theater, little theater,
yeah. That would be like Bert's back room. I mean, Bert's back room is not, it's kind of like that, but
yeah,
not
but
much
bigger,
wider.
Yeah.
And so I don't be like that. But I went in, I was like, oh, shit.
I, being out here, I dread those places. I dread those slotted signups.
Yeah.
Online signups and shit. Yeah. There's no audience. There's never going to be an audience
really
there.
Isn't.
There's never going to be an audience there.
That's the frustrating part about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's good. Like, I attribute the fact that, oh, I'm able to sign up for it and be able to get there. When
right.
I can get there. That's the positive of it. But the negative of it is, like, you're just doing your jokes in front of other comics.
Other comics, basically.
And it's like, it sucks because you just need the audience. You need that non-comic. You need the guy who
That's
works.
The thing about L.A. These niggas don't know that they need, let me see the keys, that they need, what you call it? Oh, you got a call?
No, I'm texting.
Oh, okay. Fine. These motherfuckers don't know that they need an audience. They don't understand that that's how you, as a comic, we operate. We operate off of the audience feedback, man. All right, it's nice to have these other comics here.
It is.
Which is cool, but fuck all that, man. I need a genuine reaction from an audience because they don't know what these jokes about to be about.
Exactly. I need that man who works a job as a banker and who's had a stressful day, you know, telling families that their homes be foreclosed to come
right.
into a bar, a pizza restaurant, a pizza bar restaurant, come in and say, and sit down and say, I want to hear what a joke you got to say from me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm be like, here you go, man. Here's some jokes. And they're all pro-Bernie, so you get the fuck out. But, you know.
Pro-Bernie.
Like, yeah, but it's very frustrating because it's like, it's good for one thing. Because I think I saw it, I don't know, are you part of that Black Comedians Facebook page?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that shit, it's fucking hilarious, that shit is. But
yeah,
I remember,
it is. It's pretty good.
I forgot what's the guy's name. I think you might know him. It's, I forgot his name, but he said something about, like, how, yeah, to pay for play. Because, like, one of the people was starting that shit back in Inglewood. It's going to be, it's like,
yeah.
I want to check that one out, too, but I've been seeing the website. No one's signing up for it, so I'm like,
yeah. Oh, you can definitely check that beforehand.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know.
Ain't nobody signing up for it. Ain't nobody going to be in that motherfucker.
Yeah. And he even pointed out, like, yeah, this pay for play shit is not gonna, it's gonna have bad consequences and stuff.
Especially
and,
in the outskirts.
Oh, yeah.
Like LA, yeah, you got everybody out in this area to go ahead and go to these mics. But like Inglewood and shit, that's down towards the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you ain't, I mean, you could have comics out there, but that's That's where everybody's like, oh, man, you should go hit the outskirts, because that's where, if you want to get time and an audience and shit, that's where you would like to go.
Yeah, like, the only reason I was to check that one out, because I was like, okay, I was working near there, like, working Culver City and stuff. Like, a lot of the kids I'm with and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Is that it?
Yeah, we got it.
And, you know, I was thinking about, like, checking it out after work, but then I saw online, it was just like, no one signed up, and I was like, I really want to make the hassle of going at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, oh, it's a 9 o'clock show, too. Yeah,
that's what I get up at 8, so I knew I'm going to miss the 8 o'clock thing. So I said, all right, it's 9 o'clock. And I said, no one signed up. So I was like, yeah, it's not worth it. Like, I don't want to go there. And then it's like, no one's there.
Yeah.
I feel bad, too, for the people, because the guys, like, seem like he wants to.
Wants to get it. But I mean, but it's just starting. So yeah, you're going to have to really make sure that people stay on the comedy bureau.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. Like, it's. And oh yeah, like, the building looks nice and everything, and it show how the room looks. And I was like, oh, shit, it's like a very nice. It was like an Apple Store type room, basically. And it was just like, okay, this is nice. Like all white walls.
It's so strange though. It's like, why is that what y'all want to do? Why not find like a community bar that everybody goes to, or some that people regular, like that you get your regulars there and shit. Yeah. Because these we got a theater, but what? Okay, you gonna put a show on eventually? What are you gonna do?
Exactly, you gotta build a thing up first before you could do it. Like, I think the reason why some of these other places do much better is because they started off as like that place Fourth Wall, not the one off of. Hollywood Boulevard. Like, it was actually originally a cafe.
Yeah.
And I remember that cafe because I used to go there a lot.
Yeah.
And they had an open mic there once in a while, and it became really popular that they just converted it to all week sign up for this open mic type thing. So, because they were able to develop regulars and to develop people and everything, like, you know.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah.
So what was your goals as you came out here? Like, what are you trying to achieve since you're out here?
Honestly, man, just trying to do more comedy, you know?
Like, yeah.
That's what I really want to do, like.
Have you always wanted to do comedy? Was that your thing growing up?
It kind of was for a while. Like, I remember as a kid, I used to watch like a lot of SNL, like the whole Sandberg.
Mm-hmm. Hater. Andy Samberg.
Andy Samberg. Yeah. Hater, Sunday, because that's like, that's my era.
That's your
era. That's my era SNL shit. And so I fucking like loved all the Dick in the Box, like Sunday shit.
Oh, yeah. Mine's Adam Sandler. I had the Adam Sandler, fucking Will Ferrell. That was my era around that time. Okay. Which was something else, because the way Adam Sandler came out, he was putting out fucking. The little prank calls and shit.
What, he did that?
Yeah, he got a whole, like, back then, young Adam Sandler's got a whole tape of just him doing prank calls.
Funny
People.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, I remember that now. Funny People did that show, remember the scene he showed when he was, like, younger. And he was,
right.
Okay, and it was actual.
Funny People, that movie there. Oh, my God. That movie was just way too long and way too. It's not that. It's a dick way to go ahead and predict how a comedian is. It's not all of us are like that, Adam. Jesus Christ.
He actually, even they make fun of him. They go hardcore on him, saying how he's pretty much like a sad, depressed comedian who hates his career. And it's
right.
Like, you listen to commentary. Joe Appleton was asking him, so Adam, what are you going to do after this? And he's like, I'm probably going to make one of these films you were making.
Have you seen his stand-up?
Or is it good?
No.
I saw his earlier stand-up. I've seen, like, good, but I haven't seen this late, what he's doing now.
It's outdated, basically. Yeah. It's just basically him how he used to be, real childish.
Oh,
it's like, this doesn't resonate with what you're doing now. Just stick to these movies, because these jokes ain't working.
Right.
You make little silly songs and shit, and still talking that little accent.
Are you still doing that?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. The man's like near 50. The man's in his 50s.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Jesus.
Exactly. It was, I watched a good chunk of it, but I couldn't watch all
of it. Damn, that's impressive. It's like, anticipating what Eddie Murphy's going to be like, because I'm interested.
Oh, shit. Have you seen Arsenio's?
Oh, God. How was it?
I couldn't get past the first
time. Fuck. What was it?
Couldn't get past the first
time. What was it? What was bad? What, I mean,
it just, it doesn't resonate with me. It's just all old, corny shit. Hopefully. It's like, well, I mean, it's him, I guess, but I don't think I've ever seen him do stand-up
right.
before.
Right, because he stopped after you can go
ahead and interview people, yeah. but you know, your stand-up, he's trying to resonate with people. It seems like he wasn't prepared or something like that. It just, the organicness of what he was trying to bring just wasn't appealing to me, and it was very, like, mediocre and not funny at all. I mean, it's funny to the old motherfuckers that was in the crowd, but I couldn't deal with it. Right. I couldn't deal with it at all.
All right, I'm very interested in what Murphy's gonna be like. Hopefully, because he seemed like he's been for years. He's just said I've been just writing shit and recording myself.
Shit, he better come out. I ain't gonna say he better, but it would be good if he came out and just talked about life, nigga. Talk about what happened to you.
I think he's gonna do that. I feel like he came out saying like. I know he said, like, yeah, I watched Delirious recently. He said in the interview, like, I watched Delirious recently.
Yeah, I heard that.
And he was like, I cringed on the shit I said. I was like, Jesus, I was just a fucking asshole and stuff.
And then you come out and apologize and shit or something like that.
Oh, yeah, he said, like, yo, don't, like, I'm sorry for that shit at sex. It's like, and people got pissed out here. It was like, oh, he's bended.
That's
like,
PC culture.
Yeah, and he's like,
I'm scared.
Right, so I don't think he was a bad, for me, I don't think he was saying, oh, I regret making Delirious. I think he was saying he loved Delirious. He was saying, like, certain parts I kind of recognized that I was, like, I felt that I was not being responsible enough at the time.
And I mean, he was young as fuck.
Yeah, that's true. Like, you can't really get on. Like, he was, like, 22 or 21 years old, and it's like, well, gotta be realistic, you know, society, the way it was.
Man, this shit was gonna turn out like this.
Yeah, like, no one knew it was gonna be like, I don't even know what to imagine. Like, even you and I, when we were in high school, we didn't think that, oh, gay people were going to get married in the coming years, or the fact that gay guys can be running for president. Like, you didn't think that shit was, like, literally, we were just waiting for all this one nigga to get fucking in office, and that shit happened. You're like, okay, all right, maybe, then okay. Then it's like, oh, shit, damn, this progressed real
this
fast.
This is working, yeah, it is progressing.
Yeah.
But it then progressed into a notion where everybody's like, oh, well, this is too much now. Like, we're seeing too much. We gotta shelter our kids.
Yeah.
It's like, well, shit. We're the generation that we really wasn't that sheltered. We're doing a lot better than these fucking kids are doing now.
You know what I'm saying, dude? Like, dude, some of the kids I work with, you know, like... Oh, for people listening, I work with autistic kids. And so, yeah, basically some of the shit, like, the... Like, parents tell me and stuff, it's like, oh, you know, we want to make them feel protective. Like, not let them know that you're the one for them. Like, I shout some of them, and it's like... Oh, you can't really, the parents don't want you to talk to him or anything one-on-one. You got to be, like, kind of distant from him or her.
Really?
And it's like, but, you know,
they're going to reach the kids.
Yeah. The other kids are going to find out eventually why I'm there for it. They're going to kind of, kids are smart. Like, they'll start connecting the dots and be like, oh, I noticed that he always tends to be around him most of the time. And then, like, they're going to, and I think you need to be honest with your kid and tell your kid that, yo, you kind of have a different brain function to everyone else, dude.
Right.
You know, and stuff. And this is why you have him around to help you so you can learn it. So when you get older, you know, but I kind of feel sometimes the parents are going about it the wrong way and shit and not really preparing them
as you get older. Most of these kids nowadays are not prepared for like what the real world's going to be like. And it seems like I would like to go ahead and like teach some kids, like, oh man, it's not all fucking. Mm-hmm. Rainbows and lollipops out here once you get older, you know. I'm thinking about I would like to give seminars and shit just to be like this is how life is supposed to be, or this is what you should do during life, and this is how, like, these are the years to actually live, like your 20s and like once you get into college or up to your 20s and your 30s, man, you should just fucking live life. Don't worry about getting married or settling down. Then your 30s, your 20s are just to go ahead and be like, yeah, this is what I want to do the rest of my life. And then your 30s is where you hit it hard. And that's like, that's your accomplished goal. That's your accomplished years right there. Yeah, you just go ahead and tackle whatever you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
And then around 40, that's when you should kind of just settle in into your... Well, that's just how I'm looking at it.
I think that's what's actually going on now, man. I think people are literally doing that right now. Like, people aren't having kids are getting married in their 20s or living life in their 20s. Then in their 30s or having it's
early because your brain's not developed to the age of 25. Depending on, you know, women to men, it's still, your brain doesn't develop till you're 25. Like, so why would you try to start a family if you're not fully developed as an adult yet? Mm-hmm. It's like, might as well just live that life out. But people don't know that. People get told that, oh, I only have so long to live. It's like, man, I'm 34 now, so like I feel like, oh, I got a whole, if I do live to 60, like this is, man, that's 30 more years of my life right. that I can, that's basically like me starting all over again.
Yeah, pretty
as
much.
As an infant with wisdom, like, so now I can come out here and just do it right, you know, because I don't have anything to worry about. I ain't got no kids and no old lady and nothing like that. And
also, I think it's like also the times have changed dramatically. Like we said, for example, like our parents' generation pretty much went to college. Some went to college, so just like immediately started working out of high school. And then got promoted within their early 20s. Then got married in their mid-20s. Then had like at least 4 kids in their late 20s.
Right.
And now it's like different for us where we're like, because we kind of recognize like, oh shit, our parents were kind of stressed the fuck out.
Stressed the fuck out.
And I remember my parents like being stressed the fuck out about all this shit. Like finances, like bills, like trying to do this and that, trying to get the doctorate, like literally. And then I think about our generation is more like, oh, wait, we want to have fun, but we also at the same time recognize responsibilities, but we also don't want to, we want to have fun at the end. We got to remember that, like, that's, life is too short, and we saw how our parents were, and we don't want that to be us. And so it's like, I think it's definitely, like you said, the goalpost has shifted now, where people are definitely focused on doing that. And then when they're ready, then they'll be like, okay, now I'm ready to do that step. But right now, I got to focus on me and build on me and stuff until I know I'm ready and stuff. And
it's weird because I've never imagined my dad at a young age, but my dad, like 28, 30, like that, to me, that's now since I'm that age, just young. But, you know, growing up, I didn't realize that, you know, that you dealing with childhood, you dealing with children at this age of life. And it's just like, wow, how difficult that must have been back then, you know, because people still struggle with it now. So it's just like, fuck, you know, why even put yourself, well, a lot of people don't know how to pull out, so... You got that. But you still got a whole lot of daddies that don't want to be daddies, so they run away from responsibilities. It's like, fuck that. Put me on child support if you can find me, bitch. Yeah. And it's like, well, that's not the way to look at it.
Yeah.
You know, people don't want to take care of their fucking responsibilities. Oh, I was prepared for it, but it never happened. So it's like, well, now it's time to chase my dream. And this is the process. This is us out here. Like, how's your show coming along, man? How's Blackverse?
Oh, dude, I told you. Remember, I left it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, dude, no. I told you that. I told you like that months ago.
Oh, shit, no, I didn't hear this. I haven't talked to you in months.
I told you in August.
In August?
Yeah, I told you. I you're right there. You asked me. It's like, oh, it's cool. It's cool. Oh no, man, I left it and shit.
Oh but, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, I left it.
August was a ways away. Yeah, we had November.
I get it. Yeah, November. I get shit. Gets fall.
Yeah, damn. I ain't talked to you since August.
Yeah, man.
Oh, at your birthday, when we was skating.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh fuck. So is that so? What's going on?
In life or with what?
What is it? Is it still happening? Or are you?
Oh, Blackverse?
Yeah.
I guess so. I mean, I don't.
Was
that
your product or was? Did you get fucking Ari Shaffir'd? Is that what happened? Or Roseanne Barr? Did they Roseanne Barr you?
I see. What's the best way to say it? My product. I want to be 90. I'm gonna be real. Fuck it. I'd say 90% of it was my product.
Mm.
And we're trying to think who. And Rosenbard. Oh no, they. Maybe not Rosenbard is not the right person, but they. One person. I'm not gonna say who or anything, but to say a certain person made it seem like I was the one that was unhinged and kind of not right and not the right person to run it, and then started putting shit in my head about myself. And decided like to make pretty much fuck with my psyche to the point where I pretty much got depressed and anxious for at least a duration of 4 months until I said,
oh, shit.
Fuck. And then on top of that, my own girl, my own partner, fucking knows how I was acting, and I told her what the person said. She got upset and called that person and said, yo, I've been noticing how Justin's been since you guys had a talk or something, and then all this stuff. But then went on, put me on blast and said how I don't do this or don't do that, and how I just play only one type of character, how I just... I'm not incoherent, I don't communicate well, which, again, I will admit, like, yeah, I've had communication issues in the past, but I tend to work on it and stuff, which I feel I've gotten better about, but all the other shit they were saying about me was, like, very false in every way, and very fucked up, and I think the part that pissed me off the most was the fact that the shit they said, it was the fact they said this to my own girlfriend.
Right.
Making it seem like, oh, she's going to agree with them, being like, oh, yeah, you're totally right about him. Like, yeah, just, I don't even know, I'm in this week. No, like, right, she was like,
that's not your old lady.
Yeah, she's like, no, she was like appalled and be like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he tried to bring the fact that she had directed a, because I asked her, oh, we want to direct a video sketch for us? She's like, yeah, sure. And she, they tried to point the fact that, oh, you know how it was. Like, you had to give him more than one direction on set one time. And she was like, yeah, that's what I do as a director. I give people more than one time. More, I had to give them multiple directions. If it was not getting through, that's my job as a director. I had to do that. And I'm supposed to just say one time only. Like, all right, we're done. Like, if I want them to feel like they know that they're capable of doing that, I'm going to have to do it more than once with them.
Is everybody from here? Do most of the in your group?
No, older people. No, mixture. No, it's a mixture.
I feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's so weird when people come out here because they become part of this society. Yeah. And this society out here, oh my God.
It's crazy. It's funny.
I hate it. I hate the people out here. Is just they think they're owed something. It's like, this is Hollywood. And fucking very, very, it's very disgusting how people act out here, and they don't have any type of common courtesy. You know, they don't say thank you. Like, they had this fucking old lady in the store today, and I was walking my friend, and she didn't say excuse me or nothing. She just basically stood on her fucking shoes, and I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
I was like, you disrespectful ass motherfuckers out here.
I've been doing that shit too. I open the door for people and be like, that. They just walk me,
they
like,
just walk right and in. It's like, oh, wow.
Like, you know, like, oh, hey, usually press this thank you. Or it's like, I didn't have to be, you know, I didn't have to open the door for you because I didn't want to be an asshole. I saw you behind me and I was like, oh, hey. And you just like, repulsed, like, you're acting like I'm supposed to do that. I'm like, not really. I could just simply been oblivious.
Motherfuckers need attitude adjustments out here.
No, they really hardcore do. Like, I remember one time. Me and Lacey were driving. We were talking about something, and we waited, and the green, like, stop sign, red, because, you know, it's one of those crazy lights where you can't really turn because the other lane's coming the opposite direction.
Yeah.
And this car honked at us because we wanted to go immediately once it was yellow, and it's like, no, I'm not going to go because the car...
It's speeding up because it wants to get through the yellow light.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to get hit by it, that car. And
street
just,
systems down here.
Exactly.
Terrible.
And I fucking hate them so much, but we were waiting, and then green, and the same thing happened. And then we yelled, the car honked at us. I immediately turned my back at them. I was like, what the fuck? Chill. And they tried to drive up and try to do the same shit with us. And we're looking at them like, bruh, chill. Like, you're getting to your place. Patience. Yeah. Like, damn. Like,
everybody's in such a fucking hurry.
I know.
It's like, where you going?
Yeah, it's like, Jesus, man. Like, it's fucking crazy. But yeah, you're right. Like, people out here, I think they think that, like
very
you said.
Very entitled.
You're very entitled. It's very funny, too, because I meet people who are actually from L.A., born in L.A.
Yeah.
Chill as fuck.
Yeah.
Very relaxed. Very hanging around. People who are, like, from fucking Midwest or some shit, entitled as fuck, think they are owned, like you said, owed something, and think you can walk over anyone just because they feel like they can. And it's, like, very, like you said, disturbing, disgusting, uncomfortable, and it's like, no, I don't want to fuck with you anymore. It's...
I mean, it's everything's pretty out here, but that makes it just real disgusting to deal with, because it's like there's no need for y'all to be like that. It's a nice place out here. Why can't people just smile?
Exactly.
Why can't people just smile, say thank you, or at least acknowledge that you done something for them?
Exactly.
Or acknowledge that, oh yeah, because motherfucker ain't gotta fucking help you out or do anything for you.
Really.
It's just
like, I really like to see what happened. People just said. Think like when someone like was about behind them, the person with the door, and the person behind us about to go, and the door closed on them, and be like, I want to see what would happen. Like, would that person be upset, or would they just swallow it and be in their feelings all the time, but not say anything.
I've been shoulder checking some people lately just because I noticed that they're not about to move out the way. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, I mean, all right. Yeah. We'll give you the shoulder and see what happens, and I want you to pop off.
Yeah. They get shook. No, I've been, like, doing the same thing lately where in the past I was always kind of like, you know, like, oh, excuse me. But now I'd be like, excuse me. And they're like, oh, sorry about that. Like, to get out the way and stuff. And
yeah.
Like you said, you had to, like, check them in a way and be like, yo, come on. You can't be, you gotta get, I understand being your own headspace. I get it. Like, you know, I'm in my own headspace at times, too. But I make sure that, oh, sorry, man, what were you saying? I'm not, like, deliberately, like, you know, I'm like, I make sure that the person is, like, I'm not doing this on purpose. It's just, like, no, sorry, I was just, I have a tendency to zone out. Like, I'm not bored or anything. It's just I was thinking about something. I apologize. Like, what were you saying again? Versus someone who's, like, deliberately doing that or being, like,
Not paying attention. It's like, what the fuck? Yeah. You just face out the fucking phone and listen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
God, it's, people out here. But, well, how long you been doing comedy for?
Fuck. 5 years, man.
5 years.
Five years.
How was your upbringing?
Upbringing was good, man. Good. I come from, like, you know, one of those black middle-class families.
Oh, that's nice.
Like,
yeah.
Not like the Huxtables or the Banks, but more kind of like, Ice Cube? Yeah, that's going to go Ice Cube. Ice Cube's middle. I think Ice Cube was born.
Banks would be more of an upper class.
Yeah. No, he was middle class growing up, right?
Uncle Phil?
No, Ice Cube.
Phil? Ice Cube. Yeah. Banks?
No, Ice Cube the rapper.
Wait, you said Banks, though.
I said, Sir Philip Banks. I did a poor job. I transitioned from fictional black characters to... real black characters without recognizing that, oh shit, this is gonna confuse the wavelength. Yeah. But comfortable black middle class family and shit. Dad's a doctor, mama's a business owner.
Oh, okay.
And shit. So, dad's from the ninth ward.
So your parents still together?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh good. Okay. That's very rare.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Very rare when you meet people whose parents are still together.
No, I'm kinda surprised myself. That there are times they're still together because they get into arguments a lot.
Of course.
I mean, now I think it's chilled out because my sister and I are out the house. And the only thing they have there is, like, my sister's pet cats. That's, like, adapted to them since my sister's in college. And so they've, like, I think they pretty much chilled out now.
That's therapy.
And, right, yeah, there. And I think they're, like, I think last time I visited, I don't remember them yelling at each other or arguing. Actually, the times I've visited them, I really haven't seen any of that shit. Happen. Like, I think one time I didn't even really got an argument. I heard my mom call my dad a motherfucker. She cried. I started, like, crying, went in the room crying. I was like, I check on her. It's like, hey,
being older now, you can understand. You can understand most arguments.
Oh yeah, no, I got it.
Oh, okay, yeah, y'all gotta hash this out.
I understand now. Like, I guess a kid, I said, why do you guys like this? And I said, dumb. Like, as a person, I'm like, oh, I get it. Like, the stress of fucking money and shit.
Yeah, all that together.
Oh yeah, gets to people. Like, y'all guys were hiding that shit from me. Y'all didn't want to explain because you feel it'd be too much. We understand.
Yeah.
But now I get, because I'm kind of going through similar things with finances and shit, so I kind of understand.
Yeah, I got that a lot.
Yeah,
my problem, my mom, there was something that she wasn't going to tell me. And she was like, I just figured I'd tell you. I was like, why would you still keep things from me?
Yeah,
I'm older now. What the fuck?
Oh, no, man.
Like, yeah, but you the baby.
Dude, hardcore, man. Like, my dad didn't tell me my uncle was literally, died till the day he died. Like, he didn't tell the fact that, oh yeah, for a few months he actually had, like, cancer and shit. Like, Holden kept it away from me until he called me and said, hey, your Uncle Calvin, he passed today. And I was like, wait, what? Ow! And he said, oh, he had cancer. Wait, what the fuck? And apparently him and my sister went to visit him in hospice and shit. So it was like, yeah, the hardcore, your family's like the last
time won't come see him before because it's the last moments.
Yeah, and it was like, oh fuck! And I called my sister and asked her, "Yo, like, how did you know about this? Did you know anything about this?" She's like, "No, I just learned this the same day you learned this. My dad just asked me to come along and stuff." And I was like, "What the fuck?" And I'm like, worried now that if some shit happens to my mom or dad, I feel it's gonna be a thing where they're gonna keep it a secret, like. you know, have you, you know, you know the show Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yes.
This is, I forgot what episode, it was this episode where Larry David's dad visits him, and, or I think he visits his dad, and he was like, so how was the play? He's like, oh, it was good, good. And he's like, okay, where's mom? Oh, you know, so your mom died, actually.
Wait, what?
Yeah, but she was feeling bad, but she didn't want you to know because she knew you were on your trip and stuff. And I feel it's going to be that situation where I'm just going to call one day and be like, hey, mom, so where's dad? And it's like, oh, you know, he transitioned. Wait, what do you mean? Like, oh, you know,
he transitioned.
He's not with us anymore. Wait, what? It's, oh, no, hey, he didn't want you to worry. You know, he said that, you know, he knows that you're kind of busy right now, and it's like, what? No, what the fuck? Like, it's weird, because this happened to a friend of mine where his mom had told him his dad was having surgery, a heart surgery.
Yeah.
And he got upset about that, because it's like, you gotta tell me this shit. Like, I don't know what's, I don't want to wake up, I don't want to learn that, oh, you kept this big, major thing from me, and now I'm like, now I'm sad and depressed, because my last conversation with you was, oh, hey, so I left something over at you guys' place last time I visited. Could you possibly send it to me if you could? Like, I don't want that to be my last conversation. Damn, like, that's mean.
That is terrible. That would be fucking horrible. My cousin on her third baby, and I only knew that she was pregnant one time.
Shit.
Yeah. Damn. And that was for her first child.
Oh, fuck. So you didn't know anything about the second kid.
Not even the second.
Damn, the middle.
And then the third kid came around. I was like, "What? When did this baby? Wait.
Right. No.
What the fuck is going on? How did you get another baby? I didn't even know you were pregnant. It'd be so weird. But that doesn't seem that, I figured that, I mean, we talk, but we're not as close as we used to be when we were younger.
Right.
But, you know, shit, fucking, you get older and you grow distance between people.
Yeah. Oh, you definitely do. But, real quick, are your parents still together or?
No, well, I mean, I got a stepmom. Oh, so
that's
right. Yeah, my dad, I was raised by my dad when I was younger.
Oh, what's up?
So, what's up? My mom was usually not in the picture as much, and then she started to come around, and now she's always there now.
Nice.
She just wants to be in my life. Which is cool, because she tries hard, and she tries really hard.
What's up, man?
Good. Yeah, she doesn't even need to try that hard. I'm very easy to please, you know.
Yeah.
As long as she's there and not fucking up, we're all good. Yeah, but yeah, my stepmom though, she's amazing.
Nice.
That side of the family, basically, she's like a second mom, and that makes life a lot easier, because dealing with step-parents, you always see the movies and shit. And
oh,
it's
yeah.
Oh, this is going to be bad. This is going to be this. Nah, it was really good. You can't really complain about it at all. Like, and yeah, they're still, my dad and my stepmom still together, which is a good thing. You know, they go through their little stints, but I rarely saw any of that. You know, I dealt with different things growing older. As a child, and which kind of shaped me into this person I am now. You know, what do you think your comedy derives from? Like, what type of comic do you consider yourself being?
I think I try to keep my conversationalist type shit. Like, I'm not gonna try to say, I don't want to try to say, oh, a comedian, but I think more like someone who's like very observational.
Yeah.
Very, you know, like, oh, so I kind of noticed late, like, this shit happened, or so, like, something personal that happened to me, I try to make everyone relate to it. Like, the joke I had about going to a Christian school,
uh-huh.
And being taught abstinence, and
more of a lifelike experience,
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
I would say, argue that, and also, I think some. Oh shit, a cat. I'm sorry, I don't know. I don't know why I surprised my cat. Just walking.
Like, yeah, for real. Like, they ain't got cats everywhere.
But, like, that with a mixture of other stuff. Like, I think also, too, because I had a comic at a bar I was at recently, kind of helped me out with the struggles having problems with ending it, because people would not be surprised by it. And he said, oh, yeah, the reason why I'm not surprised by it, because you already have given him the surprise
that, yeah.
And he told me that what you need to do is literally just make it seem normal.
Mix the words up.
Yep. Make it seem normal. Then at the end, boom. And I tried that shit, and I was like, oh, this fucking actually works. I think I tried to also be surprised, uh-huh. make it more...
give it more mannerisms.
Yeah, more interesting, more surprised in a way. Like,
yeah.
That joke I think you heard me say tonight, one about me crying because I could, my toilet wasn't working. I mean, people, and I was like, man, he was really sad about why. Man, he must be, okay, I get it because you had to use the bathroom. It just freaks you out. And then me saying, oh, yeah, because I was on acid the whole time. And it's like, oh, shit. Like, you know, so I think that really helps versus me saying, you know, with acid.
The hidden
like,
extra.
Yeah, it's like people are like, okay, like, you know, like people are like, okay, I mean, yeah, of course, you, you're on acid, you would do that. But if you don't say, you just say, oh, I took a shit in the trash can. People are like, oh, damn.
Words mean a lot.
Oh
man.
Yeah, hardcore. I'm learning that shit like hardcore.
The specificity of your. I think that's it. The specificity.
Yeah.
Whatever. The specificness of your words is is what you should choose. Like especially like words. Your word choice is a key factor when it comes to being a comedian, especially how many times you use a certain word, which words should go where, you know, which words are more powerful, synonyms, antonyms, all those, man, all those are very worthy. Pay attention in English class.
Oh, yeah, hardcore.
All those, the English language is powerful.
It is powerful. You got to read. Go to the library. That's why we sell people. They need to go to the libraries. Like, don't fucking support Amazon. Like, you're already rich as fuck. Like, Jeff Bezos doesn't need fucking more money. And I tell people, like, go to the libraries, man. Libraries are wonderful. They came like a... They
good contain, place to think.
Exactly. They're free. You go in, you do anything in there, and it contains so much books. You can even, like, request books they don't have, and they'll get it for you within a week and be like, okay, here's the book and stuff.
Dewey Decimal System.
Exactly. Beautiful shit. Y'all be... People don't be fucking taken advantage of, and this is why libraries are going extinct, because motherfuckers want to be spending damn-ass money on... bullshit,
man,
and I get
these
free books.
I want to let people know about how people are going about the world nowadays, especially when it comes to comedy, because we just ran into somebody talking about they want to be more of a shock value or more of a shocking type of comic, but they've only been doing comedy for 3 weeks.
I even knew. No, it was their first day.
First week, third time doing comedy. And this person thinks that they need to come out and be edgy.
Yeah.
But not construct the joke properly, just, oh, I need to be edgy so I can stand out. And that's what, but he's scared to be edgy because of the PC culture out here. Saying that, oh, edgy is not the way to go. You're gonna get cancel cultured if you try to be edgy. And it's like, all right, yeah, maybe so. But if you're gonna be edgy and you want to be a shock value comic, you gotta know how to write. You gotta know how to construct a fucking joke.
Yeah.
If you can't formulate a joke properly, don't try to be edgy.
Exactly.
Just start out thinking of some silly shit that you think is gonna be funny, because edginess is just gonna get you shunned from a whole bunch of mics out here.
Yeah. Like,
well, anywhere really.
I think that's a problem too. With like a lot of people who are clearly, it's like their first time ever doing any comedy, they think they got to be like, oh, I got to constantly work my bits 24/7 on everyone I meet. Everyone.
I hate that shit.
And it's like, I like, because then the person's talking about it, like, I was being nice, but I was like, thinking at the same time, like, I kind of wonder, like, I can't, I was thinking, I wanted to tell him, like, hey, you don't have to do
yeah,
the,
oh, this. I saw your quietness. So I was like, oh, all right, this mother, he's fresh to it, mm-hmm. and so he just wants to go ahead and express himself, like, okay, yeah, this is fun, but he doesn't realize that all comics don't do that shit anymore.
Yeah, I get
like,
it.
Like, once you establish yourself, we don't do shit.
Yeah,
like
I mean, I remember I used to do, I did that shit when I was really starting off. Like, I remember I was just trying to make people laugh, but then I was like, okay, I gotta stop. Eventually I stopped, and I was like, yeah, it's just getting too much. Like, people just want to chill and talk, and that's it. Like, you don't have to be.
Nobody wants to hear you working on a bit. Nobody wants to hear your bits, man. You say that shit for the stage, but people don't, everybody's different out here. People really want to be comics, but they don't really want to really put the work in.
Yeah, that's an issue too. And it's like, I wish I could tell a person, like, you know, like, like you said, like, you shouldn't just seek out to be shocking value. Like, there are comedians who do shock, but it's not because they try to shock, it's just that it weaves in into their material.
Right.
It just weaves in, like, someone like Jim Jefferies or Doug Stanhope, for example. Like, they're not desperately trying to be, oh, I want to be shocked and just say a fuck you to audience. It's more like, oh, this is just what my viewpoints are on life.
And this is and, how I'm going to go about talking about it.
Same with Dave Chappelle. Like, he literally said, the belly, his, for which special, when he was doing the belly room.
Oh, that was the equanimity.
Yeah, that, I mean, I fucking love that special so much. But I love the part where he says, "Is that it?"
No. I was just saying that's the second half of it.
But I love
it was in the belly room.
Yeah, because I love the part where he says, "Yo, like, I'm," like he was saying the stuff. He was saying like his material or stuff. He was saying he was like, "Yo, I'm just. I could be wrong about this. I'm wrong about this, but I just feel like I just need to say this shit." And it was, like, beautiful hearing that shit from a comedian saying that, because it's, like, I think a lot of people are so desperate to want to be right 24/7 that immediately it's felt that, oh, if you get one thing wrong, then people will immediately dissociate from you. They'll immediately question, oh, if you're wrong about this, you can't possibly wrong about this. I think everyone
understand that most of these, most of the conversations are just a bundle of assumptions and opinions that we're bringing as a collective to go ahead and produce to people, and they don't understand that. We're not trying to get a. I mean, certain people try to get a point across, but usually people they twist and turn to try to get to that certain point. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not everything that I'm going to be saying definitely is going to be factual. I mean, it's going to be shit that I think of that I have my opinions on, but I don't fact check myself all the time. Yeah. I do on some shit.
Right.
I fact check on some shit. But other than that, depending on if I really want to give somebody the knowledge of something, or if I don't give a fuck how I feel, I don't give a fuck what y'all think about it, I'm just going to go ahead and give you my opinion on the statistics, whatever the joke might be, and then continue from there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's the important thing, too, is... like, just saying fuck it and just seeing what happens. Like, that's about what it is at the end of the day, taking risk. You know, like, I'd rather be a comedian who takes risk in what I'm doing instead of being, like,
motherfucker get afraid.
Scared and being like, and then like, well, am I actually growing if I'm just doing the same safe shit? Like,
I gotta take risks. That makes this perfect, perfect conversation to set this up. Because they got a lot of old head comics out here that are still sticking to the same fucking jokes.
And it's annoying as fuck.
Yeah, people, oh my God.
It's like they want to blame the audience so much or, oh, this PC culture thing. And it's like, dude, no. It's like a friend of mine in the nerd community, he pointed out to me, he was like, I don't necessarily think it was PC culture that comedians hate it. It's just that the audience are starting to get more smarter, and they just want the comedians to be like, yo, we know you're funny. We just believe you can have better material. Like, you want to, you know, not just this whole hackney shit. Uh-huh. They just want better material. But I think we saw a lot of old heads are pissed off because, like, they didn't grow with the audience.
What I'm hating about these old heads is that they ain't changed their jokes since fucking from 12 years ago.
Hardcore.
They still using their same old fucking mediocre sets and shit. And it's like, nigga, that shit is like 12 years old, son. You're going to have to at least hop into the water again because right now you just too comfortable with these same old jokes. Like, I get so disappointed in that. Like, hearing, like, I've heard these jokes already. And it's like, they're not even funny anymore.
They're not really, because the references are outdated. No one knows what that is. Like, that's like, if you made, like, some 48 Hours mystery reference as your joke, and it's, oh, it killed back in 1995, you're like,
It's like, that's a motherfucker that got comfortable, and you don't want to write no more. Stop writing. You stop being a comedian just to go ahead and recite some shit. That's all you're doing. You're just reciting some shit now. You're not here for the audience. You're just here to go ahead and try to make a check off of some old shit that you're saying. And I fucking hate that shit.
It's like, man,
move on, son. Like, if put it on some vinyl and get it on something else if you're afraid to let it go. Record that shit. If you're afraid to let it go, put it on something and move on. Start working on some other shit because these up-and-coming comedians out here just think that, oh, yeah, well, as long as I got this, I got a good solid 30 that I'm going to just stick with this forever and run that everywhere. It's like, nah, man, you need to keep on writing. Yeah. I go places out here and they're like, yeah, you're going to use the same set? I noticed that out here, for if I get booked on a certain show, especially for people that haven't seen me, out here is the spot that you should do that. To where if you got you a tight 5, tight 10, go ahead and take that everywhere. Because there's so many people out here, not everybody's seen you. Yeah. So keep going with that. But if you just out here fucking going to these certain mics and open mics and shit and just running with the same ass jokes and you ain't practicing nothing new, what the fuck you going to these open mics for? Exactly. That?
Like, I try desperately, and desperately, fuck it, to write down new material. Even if it's like a word or even like two words, I try to write it down because it's like, because I feel for myself that, like you said, I stick to the 5 minutes because I've been doing these jokes for almost like at least a month now, at least 2 months at best. And it's like I'm going to a different mic each time, so no one knows who I am or what the jokes are, so it works. But at the same time, I also tell myself too, like, well, I'm going to get tired of doing these jokes after a while.
Yeah.
And I really want to do something new. So it's best I should write anything down and just try to figure out, okay, how can I make this
manipulate it?
Yeah, manipulate
it. How can this go to here?
I've been
having to take a step back and then like come back and peer into my jokes because I didn't know where the shit was going. I got really frustrated being out here because it wasn't, I didn't expect it to be easy, but I didn't expect it to be dumb like this. I expected it to be at least, this is the comedy mecca. Like I expected the car, I could go out. I'm always gonna relate this back to New Orleans just because that's how I want. That's how I was raised in comedy. That's how I think comedy should be. Like it was that, like a friendship. Everybody helps everybody out here. People just disperse
once
shit is over and they don't talk to people. It's so weird because I go up to people and they're like, man, thanks for reaching out, dude. Not everybody reaches out. Not everybody likes to hang out and shit. I'm like, I don't know why.
Yeah,
it's like they're just parasites out here. They just come to leech off of what's good and then go back and try to take that for their own and Carlos Mencia that shit.
Oh, that's saying. Like, I try to, like, vibe with the people, like you, for example. Like, I try to, like, vibe with people who I vibe with hardcore and be like, no, I really like what he had done. I really like what she had done or they had done. And like go with them, and I definitely like have avoided the people who I can tell immediately. Like I remember when I was running the Black Rush show, and so there's, I forgot how the conversation started. There was this one guy I was talking to, and we were talking about stuff, and he was talking about how he runs his thing, and I forgot how it transpired to it. But then he was talking about like trying to help us out and saying stuff, and he was saying something about, you know, the money. And he was like, I made a face. And I guess he died mad, like, oh, yeah. He talked about, I saw you make that face on the money thing. I was like, looking back, I was like, no. I was just like, I'm not really in this for the money. I mean, I want to be successful, but I'm in this because I actually genuinely like comedy.
Right.
And love the fact that I can make people laugh and everything. Like, fuck this whole, like, trying to, I'm just doing this for the money
coming thing. Right now.
Yeah, I'm not worried about money. Like, I'm just worried about the fact that I want to continue to get better at this and continue to, like, grow in this and mature in this. Like this money, like I think that's one thing a lot of people, I think you said about old heads too, is like they once they become very, 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 very rich, they end up becoming like, oh, I really, because if you think about it, comedy is kind of like a working class type of art form. Like all the comedians we know or people, you know, like all of them have working class jobs, not like the fancy, you know, oh, I work at this law firm or anything. It's more like, oh, I work
very sprinkled throughout. You got some lawyers and some doctors are actually in our generation that are actually doing it, well, that I know of.
Really?
Everybody else is just, I only know a few people that are actual lawyers and maybe one doctor. But everybody else is, you know, bar backing, fucking just like scraping the bottom. Yeah. To come out and live that dream, you know. And out here, if you're gonna bar back, bitch, you're gonna bar back at more than one place. Cause people I know that bar back out here, it is something else. Cause they need people out here got buku jobs, right? Way too many jobs for me to be like, nah, I don't want one job is good enough for me. It's not good for everybody out here though, especially if your job doesn't make enough. Out here is very expensive to live, and it fucking sucks. That, you know, you pay so much to live out here for so little.
You do.
Like, certain places, motherfuckers just got, like, it's not even big enough for the people that they have in there. And then parking is a motherfucker.
It sucks.
It's like, what are we, it's just a lot to think about as you're out here.
Yeah, no, I deal with that shit every day. Like,
where I live right now with my partner, like, we fucking pay $14.95 a month. Mm. And we have no central AC, only have one parking spot, live, and, you know, constantly have issues with shit not working or easily getting, like, clogged up.
Right.
And it's, like, frustrating because it's like, well, what's the whole point of us paying this amount and we're right. not getting the services that are... Like, I remember compared to, like, when we used to live in North Hollywood, like, all we had to do was pay $14.25 a month, and we got, like, fucking AC. Central AC was in our apartment.
Yeah.
AC, like, shit was working constantly. We were able to communicate with the landlord and everything easily, and not this whole, oh, you know, it was, like, fucking easy. And it's like, okay, that was the reason why. Now I see why we paid that amount, because it was, like, they were actually delivering. But here, but where we are now, it's like.
Fucking icky, man. Yeah. It was so fucking grimy out here, son. It's so wild, dude. It's like, I don't know why. It's so expensive, but it don't need to be. Like, the shit ain't even that expensive. Like, the living situations are mediocre. Like, I guess you're just paying for the fucking scenery out here.
You do.
Scenery and to be around a whole bunch of rich people.
Yeah, it's disgusting, man. Like, I fucking, that's why I said I want to move to somewhere like Leimert Park.
Yeah.
I feel like it's the only good spot that actually has some good vibes with it.
I'm going to be doing a fucking show there Sunday.
Yeah, it's good, dude. Have you been to Leimert Park yet?
No.
Dude, you're going to fucking love it.
Oh,
it's
fuck
fucking
yeah.
When I went there one time, I fucking felt like, legitimately, since I moved here, that was like the only space I literally genuinely felt positive energy. Like,
yeah.
I was driving, and I just came across this positive energy all of a sudden I've never felt before. And I was like,
oh, that's nice.
Fuck. Like, I felt happy.
You been to Oxnard?
Nah.
Oh, Oxnard has that feeling.
Oh, nice.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, yeah, it's just like you feel happy, you feel like loved and welcomed. And not immediately this up my nose, like, ugh.
Right, like a whole bunch of tight-faced white people going to turn their shoulders.
Exactly, having their glasses. It's like, chill, man. Like, my neighborhood, I fucking hate my neighborhood so much I live in right now because it's full of white people who want to be cops.
Oh,
like those are the worst.
I'm gonna tell on you.
Exactly. Like I fucking told like two times, like one time, no, three times. Fucking annoying. One time, someone thought that we were smoking cigarettes, and like because they found cigarette butts in their apartment, and our landlord called us and they like, "Are you guys smoking cigarettes?" And it's like, "No, we don't smoke cigarettes." And two, it's like, "What the fuck? Are you really gonna call a landlord over a damn cigarette butt you saw on the ground?" And second time,
that's fucked up.
Yeah, it is. Like, second time, I decided, because I couldn't find parking, so what I was going to do was I park behind a girlfriend and behind the back, and, like, again, not block any cars or anything, because, like, fucking parking is crazy, and I'm not going to be spending, like, 30 minutes just circling around and shit. And I parked there, not blocking anyone's way or anything, parking on the side easily. Then got a complaint, because they're like, yeah, someone said you're parking back there. I'm like, yeah. I said, oh, you can't do that. It's like, what the fuck? And then
why?
I said... Yeah, it's weird. Then I saw I'm parking near the steps because I seen other cars do it. I've been doing it. I did it for a month. And then someone put a paper in my car saying, hey, we kind of like to share the parking spot and everything.
What?
And I was like, it was weird. I was like, no, like I can't find a parking spot. Then they called a landlord. She got upset. I'm like, look, I'm... And I was like, damn, y'all fucking suck. Like, I literally... It's like, Jesus. Like, y'all need to get laid or some shit. Like, damn, y'all be worried about people parking in, like, certain ways or something. It's not even... It's not like... causing you harm or adding.
I can't stand people out here. So it'd be weird. Somebody put some letters on my shit.
What?
Yeah.
Because
these motherfuckers decided they wanted to put a cone so they can go ahead and save their spot. But I'm like, nah, nigga, there ain't no save spots out here. Yeah, fuck that. You get it how you live. So I rolled over that fucking cone. I didn't roll over it. I just rolled right next to the side of it and I parked my car. And I came back the next morning and they had like two papers on my shit. If you don't move it, we gonna tow it.
Oh, God.
Let me get the fuck out of here.
Shit. No.
Took their trash and threw it on their lawn.
Yeah, no, I feel like my girlfriend, she got
my ass.
No, she got the same shit too because she accidentally like. Parked like kind of like close, like too close to the other parking spot,
right?
So they couldn't get the door out. And some two people like put two sheets and could tell it's two white people did that shit because it's like one's like, hey, as you know, it's hard to live in LA. Like, if you want, we could talk about how we can, like, talk about what? Like, it's just a damn ass parking spot.
It's
like,
a fucking parking
and someone
spot.
Else got pissy about her. So, I mean, I hope you're because it's all like she had to go to, had to go somewhere. I hope that fucking meeting, wherever you had at that place, went horrible and like, chill, motherfucker, chill, like. You got your parking spot, okay? You had to, yeah, I get it. It's annoying.
Wow.
Sometimes you have to open your door fully and you had to crawl all that shit, but You live, you breathe, walk, you walked. Live on with your life. Don't fucking write a long ass so paper. And...
Boy, people so entitled.
Exactly,
like,
they it's be fucking saying, entitlement shit.
They
I
say things and they don't really expect that exactly. somebody gonna do shit to
exactly.
them.
And then what happened when they want you set up? You step up against somebody, immediately they get.
Oh, they get real. They so pussy out here.
And it's like, yeah, that's right. You want to act all hard and shit, but immediately when I turn my back around or turn against you, immediately you want to be all like. Quiet and shit, and not want to say shit. Like it's beautiful to see when they want to say shit, and you get up and being like, "Oh no, nah, I'm the wrong motherfucker you want to fuck with," and then immediately they get all quiet and they don't want to. They don't know how to because all their life they've been able to get away with that shit and yeah. stuff. But immediately,
man,
when you,
people in there, yeah. people in LA are like that snake in the henchman.
It really is.
The snakes that belong to a certain type of gang member, the one that's always sucking ass.
Oh, yeah.
Next to the boss that's always, but don't really know how to fight.
Oh, yeah, hardcore.
Talk some heavy shit, but then cower in the corner.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I hate the fuck out of it.
Hardcore, I fucking hate it, too. Like, it's fucking annoying. It's depressing, disturbing, and it's just like, y'all fucking, y'all, I can tell y'all never been around, like, other black person or any other non-white person before in your life. And so it's like it's very awkward interactions at times where it's just like, oh, hey, you know, you can tell. You can tell the vibe. You can tell like,
I don't know what to say to you.
Yeah, like, oh, I'm like the first black person you directly had a full-on conversation with before, like in a long time. Like I could tell like by the way you act and by the way you say shit and by the way you do things and stuff. It's like, it's like, because I'm on this fucking Facebook page about the neighborhood I live in. I just go in there for the comedy
yeah.
and shit. It is fucking hilarious. Like, one woman literally was talking about how there's a homeless man who sleeps in their car.
Who sleeps in their car?
In his car, in the neighborhood where she parked.
Damn, that's bold.
Yeah, but like, no, but he's like, she just made it seem like he just makes him uncomfortable and stuff. And he's always like in his car and stuff and like sleeps around. And I'm like, Lori, then like, he's fucking, what do you want him to do? Do you want him to like, move his, like, that's some weird shit. Like, he's not even talking to you. Like, she let what she had explained later.
He could be sleeping out
that,
on the ground in front of your shit.
Yeah,
man,
like,
you got a car.
There's a way she didn't say, like, she let us some part, but I guess she's saying, like, he does also get kind of like say stuff to himself. And that's, I get why that can make you uncomfortable, but at the same time, though, it's like, he's homeless.
Yeah.
What the fuck do you want? You want him to just go to inside a hotel? Like, hey, I'd like to have a room for one tonight, please. And some
can't
lady.
That shit.
Yeah, so I'm making a white lady feel uncomfortable right now. Sleeping in my car, minding my own business, not doing anything to her. For some reason, I make her uncomfortable. And
bitch,
like,
close your eyes.
Yeah, exactly. It's like walk around him or walk around the car. Continue the day. Like, this is my issue too with the people way people treat homeless people here. And shit, it's like some, oh, no, they're going to try to... It's like, dude, one, they're not going to attack you. Two, they have their own shit they're dealing with. Three, it's only if you try and do some shit with them, then they're probably going to do some shit with you if you're trying to do some shit with them.
Yeah, I haven't seen any any homeless attacks.
No, me either, because I'm like, I fucking mind my own business, and they say some shit, like, oh, hey, I'll say hey back to them. Like, oh, hey, what's up? And like I said, or anything, or they ask for money, I'll be like, yo, man, I'm so sorry, I don't have any, and stuff. And they'll be chill about it. They won't be like, oh, fuck you, man, fuck you. And it's like you said, like the Facebook group is like literally, the Facebook group I'm on is like literally no self awareness whatsoever. It's a bunch of like again, a bunch of rich, quote unquote, progressive white folks who talk about like the most minor shit possible and get upset about like fucking like, oh, like one time someone got pissed off because of a fucking. Oh no, this fucking story. Okay, so this is pretty much this alt-right troll in my neighborhood I was living in. He tried to fuck with me, but I was looking at him like, buddy, you ain't the first white guy to say this shit to me. Like,
Say it over Facebook.
Yeah, exactly.
I see
dude,
you in the street, I'm gonna walk
exactly.
on the other
side. Like, he was trying to say shit with me. Like, he was trying to hear these shirts about all these, like, offensive, racist, homophobic, sex shit. And I was, like, looking at him, like, okay, like.
What is everybody in the. What are everybody else in the.
Oh, yeah,
the
they were afraid. They were afraid, like, oh, like, he says this shit. I'm, like, looking at him, like, yeah. I can tell you never really dealt with this breed of white folks before. Like, I've dealt with this, so I'm not surprised by it, honestly. I'm not gonna be, like, mystified or shocked or anything. It's like. Like, he's like, he literally tried to say some shit to me one time over the street, like, smiling at me, saying some shit. and I couldn't hear because I had like earwax built. So I was like,
oh, you've met this person in
person. I walked past him by him. Went to the time. He doesn't live there anymore, but he was like a Trump supporter, alt-right troll who like, because I live like in a neighborhood where one of the Church of Scientology buildings is, and he literally was trying to fuck with them and stuff. But he like he tried to say some shit to me too one time. I just simply like, okay, like kept walking, and that's it. Like, because it's like, again, it's like, yo, man, you ain't the first white guy to say this shit to me, nor will you be the last. So don't think you're original shit. Like, I've heard nigger before and stuff. I've heard that word be thrown at me.
Yeah, I'm gonna need like, people to be more creative if you're gonna.
Yeah, you need to do some shit. Like, even I would be caught off guard by it. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah,
like,
oh, that's a good one,
oh,
sir.
Oh, shit, you got me there, man. You went through the history books and got that shit out there. You did research.
So like, when I first moved out here, they had these meth bitches in this van. Mm-hmm. That was like, nigger! And I was like, that's it? That's all it. You got? Yeah. I hope you. And I laid into that. And they weren't prepared for that.
Oh, yeah,
I gave them a nice tongue lashing, and exactly. they tried to fucking speed up and then drive off, and they rolled up the windows and shit. The bitch that was sitting in the front seat, she fucking leaned her chair back. She's like, I don't want no more of this.
Exactly.
No, come get the rest of these words, ho.
Because they be thinking they could do this shit and be like, when they be surprised that, oh, shit, they could. Oh, they bite back. Like,
I don't know where you're from, but you're running off at the mouth. Yeah. I think I told you this before, but I almost slapped somebody in the movie theater.
Oh, yeah. You got to be that one time. You got to turn your head at them, and you got to be like, what the fuck? What are you trying to do? And you got to
ruin your day, motherfucker.
Yeah, like, again, I try to be, like, meditative and peaceful and shit. And be like, all right, I'm going to be.
Yeah, at one point, I was like, yeah, all right, I'm going to calm down being out here since I'm at a new place. But then, like, it just, it's a bit much. It's a bit much. Yes. Everybody's out here just a bit much. And
it really is.
Nah, fuck that. Yeah. Y'all need to know. Y'all need to know that what y'all do is not cool. Yeah, it's not cool, and I'll check the fuck out of
it. No, it's not. It really isn't. Like, you got it. Like you said, you got it. You really, I think it's healthy to check people, too. It really is healthy because it lets the person, they need to be checked, and be like, and immediately it brings, you see, like, okay, it's bringing them down. Like, I remember one of the kids, teach, like, he had one time anger, she was upset about something. And he's like, again, like one little white boy. Like his mom's like half black, but he's like, you can tell he has some black in him. He looks more whitish in a way. And he, like I'm saying, he punched me in the lip.
Oh, snap.
And for a second, I gave him that look. I looked at him like, and immediately he like, I could tell he immediately realized, oh, okay, I'll stop. Like, yeah. You better be glad I fucking am chill right now. I would be. And lucky the fact that mattered that this job and laws prevent me from doing physically and shit.
Yeah.
And stuff, because he saw me meet how the way I looked at him and stuff. And he saw, like, okay, all right, I'll.
This day and age, man. These kids, like, well, you deal with a different breed of children.
Yeah. Like,
but this day and age, these kids are something else. And they just popping off at adults and shit they thinking they can. Like, it's still not an adult you're dealing with.
Yeah. Like, some adults you can't do that shit with. Can't really tell, but other adults will be looking at you like, what? And then they get afraid. And it's like, oh, no, yeah, you didn't know about this. Me existing.
I've had so many years of being strong on this earth, okay? Yeah. I hope you've ate your Wheaties,
exactly.
Boy.
Exactly. Like, it's a fucking joke, honestly, man. Like,
It is something else. Yeah. Well, all right. We come around to the end. This has been a fucking interesting discussion we've had.
No, it really has.
The people out here, it really pisses me off. But on that, speaking of the people out here, which Joker do you think best describes you as the Joker that would probably just massacre the hated ones that you would hate out here?
Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
Heath Ledger. Yeah, because it's like his shit.
Put all these petty bitches in
the hospital. Yeah, Heath Ledger, because that man is. Blow that bitch his up. Joker was gold. Like, his Joker had no fucking. His Joker recognized all the bullshit and was like, fuck it. You want bullshit? I'll give you bullshit. And it was just anarchy until it was just all no reason for it. But he was like, fuck it. Y'all started this bullshit. I'm just going to continue. I'm going to help you amplify it. Like, I remember when he got pissed off because literally Michael J. White's character was like,
yeah,
let's put a bounty on his head. And he's like, all right, you want to do this bullshit? I'm going to do this bullshit with you. And decided to like pretend to be dead, got teenage boys to brain his body to Michael J. White and his cronies, then said, gotcha, and did that weird not, I don't know whether that was a true backstory or not an actual backstory.
No, you know why I got these scars?
Scars? You know, I said, let's try that. Mike, it's why so serious? And then, yeah. Why so serious? And then it's like, oh, fuck. Like, I was like, damn, that was a true moment for me. I was like, ah, damn, this guy's
still, like, I've watched A Knight's Tale, and that Joker just looks like that's that person. I cannot see Heath Ledger in that guy, in that Joker at all. Like, he did such a phenomenal job at that. Like, I do not know that that's Heath Ledger. And I've seen him in so many things.
Oh, yeah. No, that was the same thing, too. When I first saw Troy came out, I was like, is that Heath Ledger? Like, his voice. Like, where's the Australian accent? Where's the... And I was like... Oh shit! That was really no. I was thinking to him. Really? Obviously, he.
Yeah, that's what drugs do to you. That's what drugs do for you. They enhance the abilities of being good at a certain thing. He's good at pretending. You know, fucking Dave Chappelle was talking about that. I seen something about Dave Chappelle. I seen a little clip of Dave Chappelle. He was at the Comedy Cellar, I think, and he was talking about Joaquin Phoenix and how in Walk the Line. Or this movie that he was playing with, where he was
Johnny Cash.
No, not that one. I think it was another movie he was talking about, where he was sitting down with Letterman, and he was like, "Man, people don't understand that this person he's an actor. He's a really good actor."
Somebody here. Yeah.
Yeah, somebody that can be somebody else.
Yeah, I think you forget about acting
at any point in time. So you really don't know what this nigga's mannerisms is, because he's always acting like somebody else. So who is his real personality? Mm-hmm. And he said, man, fucking finally that his personality came out on a Letterman, where people was like, he's crazy, he's got problems with him. And he's like, nah, man, he's a genius.
He was acting the whole time, and he they real like, oh, and we all got played. And now
everybody talks about it. That's one of the things that Dave was like, you know the next nigga that was on Letterman? Nope, nobody does. But you remember Joaquin was on there.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, ah, That's so true. That's so goddamn true. And man, that right there, I enjoy the fuck out of the Joaquin Joker.
Yeah. I didn't see it.
You haven't seen it yet? Oh, good. It is really good.
I remember people were talking about, like, oh, this film's going to trigger mass shootings, and none of that shit ended up happening.
Yeah.
And I was like, people
just want to stick with a trend now. They had a little 15-year-old that shot up a school in
Santa Clarita.
Right down the street from where I work.
Yeah, I heard about that shit. My mom called me, she was okay. Christ. It was crazy.
Everybody just wants to get likes for the fucking, for the gram.
It's kind of fucked up in a way, too. Like, no, I could tell when certain people who are genuine about, want to talk about it, versus people who are like, oh, you're just doing to promote yourself. Like, you're fucked up, man, for doing that shit. Like,
very much so.
These are actual death and tragedy, too. Crazy shit, man.
Very much so. It bothers me that this is where the culture has gone. Yeah. Like, everybody wants to be famous for something, but nobody wants to do their own thing. Everybody wants to do whatever, what somebody else is doing, or what somebody else did. Nobody can't be creative themselves. So it's like, oh, well, this is what's getting that bandwagon syndrome.
I think it's going to die out soon, though, hopefully.
I hope so.
Yeah, because we don't need that shit.
Well, this has been a fucking good ass time, Justin.
Yeah, what's good?
I'm glad that we got to have this moment. It's been a minute since I've seen you.
That's right, man.
Next time we're gonna have our trip session once again.
For that sure. Was a good time. I'm thinking about doing, no lie, I wanna, are you going home? Are you going to New Orleans for Christmas, or are you gonna stay here?
I'll probably be going to Houston for Christmas. Oh, that's where my people going.
Oh, I'm probably gonna stay here.
Oh, yeah? Where are you going to be for Thanksgiving?
Here, too.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to be here for Thanksgiving. But, for Christmas, I'm going to try to get home.
If you want, I can invite you over for Thanksgiving and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Because I think we're making gumbo and some shit, so.
Yeah. Well, this is what you got to deal with if you're trying to chase a dream. You got to sacrifice. You got to give up so much shit, goddammit. Motherfuckers can't go home for the holidays because then you out here going on the grind. So, man, it's been good, Justin. Tell them where they can find you at.
So,
where you?
All right, you can find me. I don't want to give Zuckerberg more ad revenue, so I've deleted my Facebook. I'm going through my Facebook. So, right now, you can find me on Insta at Justin-Lane. Or is it dash or is it hyphen? We checked. Dash, yeah. No, yeah. Is it hyphen or dash?
That's a hyphen. Hyphen. I mean, no, that's a dash.
Dash, thank you. Yeah, that's a dash. Justin Dash Lane, L-E-I-N. What,
underscore. Underscore. Hyphen and a dash are the same thing.
Yeah, so underscore. That's sorry.
Underscore.
Sorry, guys. Justin underscore Lane. My photo's the one where I'm holding up a sign that says I want to hump a hippo. if you got
hippo humping.
It's part of a video I made. It's check. You can check me out, Dad. Also, I do stuff around town. Go to different mics. Just growing into my shit, and yeah, you can find me on Insta. Mostly,
fuck yeah, so. Man. Well, thank you, dude. This has been a good goddamn time. I have been your host, the Maniacal Menace, Kyle Smith, and this has been Tell Me a Joke, the Guideline Chasing the Dream. Till next time, fuckers.
All right. Good shit, man.